You may be seated, and if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Joel, Joel chapter 2. We have witnessed so many miracles in the last 2 years. Souls have been saved. Think about it. Addicts have been delivered. Many have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Salvation has filled this place. We've seen eyes heal. We've seen cancer heal. We've seen hearts heal. We've seen backs heal. We've seen other physical healings. We have seen financial breakthroughs. We have been seen many delivered from depression. What a dreadful thing. And on the list goes. Many of our services have begun with testimonies about supernatural miracles. 2 years ago, Paul Jackson called me and said, I have one word for you. That word is restoration. And we watch God do wonderful works. And he's got so much more he wants to do. But today I want to preach about the God of restoration. See, God gave us that word, restoration, and we've enjoyed a season of God's favor and his miracle-working power. God is a God of restoration. But once God begins to work in your life, you have to cooperate with what God is doing. Let me say that again. Once God begins to work in your life, you have to cooperate with what God is doing. Now, I'm reading from the book of Joel. God is speaking to his people, an Old Testament people that were backslidden. Look at Joel 2:25. God said, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God said, I'm going to do some restoration. I'm going to restore some stuff. That's restoration, my friend. Look at verse 26. Then God says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, I love this, that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Aren't you glad that God is the God of restoration and that he has saved you and he's been working on your life? I have a word for you if you're a new convert, if you've slipped away from God. I come with a message from God today, and if you will adhere to these principles, your life will turn around and supernatural blessing will flow in a mighty way. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much that you sent your son all the way to Calvary's cross. And Lord, you exalted him because he was obedient unto death. He paid the debt for our sin. He paid the debt for our healing, for our miracles. He paid the debt, Lord, so we would not have to live in poverty and not have enough to meet the need. You said, I'll supply all your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You're a miracle working God. You're a good God. And the word says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So we praise you. Let me preach your gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Let my tongue be like that of the writer's pen. Thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke and for the miracle working power of the Holy Ghost. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. How many years did you waste before you repented and surrendered your life to Jesus? How many years of your life were eaten up by the worms of sin and rebellion? How many of you have wished time and time again that you could relive those years knowing what you know today? We all have. But I've got good news. God said, I will restore the years that the locusts and the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm have eaten up. You know, I've had a lot of people tell me, and I'm sure you have, I wished I could make up for those wasted years. The truth of the matter is, you cannot make up those years. But I've got real good news. God can make those years up to you. Hallelujah. God is able to make it up to you. But in order to get all that God has for you, you'll have to sell out to God. You cannot be a casual Sunday morning Christian and get it, well, Pastor, I'm living in victory. Well, you're not living in everything God purposed for your life if you forsake the ascending of yourself. You're not living in everything you could have. God has done some great things, but if you want everything God has for you, you will have to sell out totally, completely, and wholly like Caleb of old. He said, give me this mountain. When he was 85 years of age, he said, I have wholly, completely, totally followed the Lord, and the mountain was his. Go on, praise God. I tell you, you can climb every mountain. God is able to make it up to you. There are people who are saved, but the worms of sin, they are still eating away at their life. You cannot halfway serve God and have his full blessings. Let me say that again. You cannot halfway serve God and have his full blessing. You cannot refuse to obey God and have those years made up to you and have those years restored. The Bible speaks of a good will, an acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. And if you are going to have all that God has ever purposed for your life, you will have to live according to his perfect will. Oh, you can be saved, you can have houses, you can have cars, you can have a family, but you cannot have everything God has purposed for your life unless you totally, wholly, completely surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Somebody go and help me preach this thing. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are many people, they're in our midst, they've been delivered from Egypt, but their mind is still back there, and their ways are still the ways of the world. And the reason for that is because they have never renewed their mind with the Word of God. They have been delivered, but they're damaged. I don't think we understand that word delivered. You can get a package from UPS. It's been delivered, but if it's damaged, you won't take it. You'll send it back. But God saw you. He saw your damage. He saw your hurts. He saw your sorrows. He saw your brokenness. You were damaged, but God said, that's all right. I'll accept the package, and I'll restore the years. I'm the God of restoration. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. See, too many people, their mind is still back there. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. And people, they wander around and around and around, and they never enter into what God has purposed for their lives. They're up one day. They're down the next day because of their own lack of spiritual sensitivity and their obedience to God. You can be sensitive to the Spirit and refuse to do what God has called you to do, you will never have it all. You cannot halfway serve God. I'm talking about getting involved in kingdom work. I'm talking about working with the Royal Rangers. I'm talking about driving a van. I'm talking about teaching a Sunday school. Well, I teach Sunday. Get involved in something else. Hallelujah. I'm talking about going when people are hurting and praying prayers and helping them. God saved us to serve. And if you're going to have everything God has purposed, you'll have to walk in the Spirit and let Jesus Christ order your steps and your stops. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. There are people that are saved, but they're like the nation of Israel. They just have not figured it all out yet. See, God sent the locust. God sent the caterpillar. And God sent the palmer worm. And God sent the canker worm. God sent this army simply because Israel was living in rebellion. Are you completely obeying God? I come with a prophetic message today. It's evangelistic. It's pastoral. Praise God. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say when I get up here. But I know one thing. I'm going to bring the word to you. God is a good God. But it's a dangerous thing not to obey God completely. It's a dangerous thing to say, well, I've done my part, and the rest of them, they can just figure it out. That's a dangerous way to live. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And because Israel refused to enter into God's plan for their lives, they suffered from the onslaught of the attack of the enemy. See, when God lets the heads down, the devil will come in. Let me tell you something. He will come in. He is a formidable foe. We have authority. We have dominion. We have power. But I tell you, the devil is real. And this army that was sent to the nation of Israel, it was sent by God. It's the Lord's army because he called it forth as his rod to execute correction upon those who were walking in disobedience. Are you obeying God completely? Are you in the perfect will of God? Listen to Joel chapter 2, verse 25 again. I got a word for some of you. Look at it. God said, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. Here's the phrase I want you to notice. Because we gloss over things sometimes. Say, everything's all right with me, Pastor. Are you sure? You don't know what's around the corner. I try to prepare people for what the devil is getting ready to do. You know, it's a whole lot better to come to church and come back and hear the word of God and have God give you the word that will bring correction in your life than for God to have to send his correction, rod of correction into your life. Listen to this. Look at that last phrase. God says, here it is. I want you to notice my great army, which I sent among you. Do you see that? Look on that screen. I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God did it. God controls the yeses and the noes of Pharaoh. This army was sent forth by God to punish those who were in covenant, yet they were walking in sin and disobedience. God just simply let the heads down. And God has an eternal law. We talk about it all the time. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You cannot sow to the flesh and have all that God has purposed for your life. You cannot treat the call of God casually. When God calls you and God is speaking expressly to you, you need to say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. I'll sing. I'll preach. I'll teach. I'll work in the nursery. I'll work the drive the vans. I'll work at the front gate. Praise God. I work in the parking lot. I work at the welcome center. I'm your person, God, and I'll do what you call me to. See, when you don't, God just simply lets the heads down. He chastises his children, and you better believe it. That's New Testament preaching right there. But Joel the prophet, he is saying, sound the alarm. God is speaking through him and warn God's people. Warn God's people that this army, it is coming. And it's coming to bring darkness and destruction. Now here's a people, a picture of an unrepentant people. And the enemy has come upon them like a flood. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever examined your heart and asked God, what is it I'm not doing that I should be doing? See, and the enemy comes in, and in their dilemma, they have no defense. No defense at all except to turn to God and repent. Joel, the prophet, was sent by God to warn people. Could God be sending you a message today to warn you of the problems and the things that are coming and are headed your way to prepare you, to get you involved, so he does not have to send the rod of correction, but he can send his word to you, and you will repent, and you will change your ways, and you will get involved in what God has called you to do. Joel the prophet warns him, and Joel's prophet was directed, as I looked at this, it was directed at three different groups: the nation of Israel, the church, and individuals in general. First of all, Joel describes perfectly what the nation of Israel went through, and he describes perfectly what a person's life is like before they repent. Secondly, then he goes on to describe what their life will be like as long as they walk in the sin of disobedience. Amen. And thirdly, he describes how God, I love this part, how God will restore those wasted years when a person completely and totally and wholly surrenders their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. My Lord. Think about it. Your life was once being devoured by an army of evil spirits which moved in on you. They come to consume everything in your life that was good and wholesome. Amen. That's how the devil works. Joel likened these spirits of destruction to locusts and cankerworms and caterpillars and palmer worms. And these insects, they are known to destroy everything in their path. You are no match for the devil if you're not walking in the perfect will of God. Anyone who was once bound by a satanic habit of any kind, you know this. You cannot stop this destructive army in your human strength. You cannot. You are no match, but you're more than a conqueror through the blood and the name of Jesus. You are who God said you are, and you have what God said you have, and you can do what God said you can do if you will totally surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. No matter how many times the sinner tries or the backslider tries, he cannot keep that army from consuming everything in its path. What the locust has left, the cankerworm eats, and what is left by the cankerworm, the caterpillar eats, and what is left by the caterpillar, the palmer worm eats. And these worms, they have come, and they come to destroy people's family. They will destroy your family. Listen to me. These worms of sin, they will destroy your business. They will destroy everything in your life, and they come to destroy. And if people don't repent, guess what? You will be destroyed by the enemy. Oh, you'll turn it sometimes. You know, the nation of Israel, they wanted for 40 years. They could have made it into the promised land. They never did accomplish and achieve what God had purposed for their life. Only two of them, Caleb and Joshua, that followed the Lord, that had faith, that lived a life of obedience unto God. And that was some desert babies. I started to preach on those desert babies. I had three sermons I was struggling with this morning. Desert babies that were born in the wilderness. All they knew was the provision of God. They didn't know about what was back there in Egypt. All they knew that God had provided, that God gave them clothes that wouldn't wear out. God gave them manna from heaven. He flew in quail. Praise God. He gave them a cloud by day and a fire by night. God supernaturally sustained them. They came forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribe. God is a good God. But if you don't walk in obedience to God, the onslaught of the enemy will overtake your life. Somebody go and praise God because you're walking in obedience to the Lord. Listen to me, sinner. Every crack vial, every coke bag, every illicit sexual act, every broken home, it is a locust, it is a canker worm, it is a worm of sin. And you better believe it. Isn't that what happens? Isn't it, church? Don't you remember? Don't you remember what you came out of? I do. Satan gets his clamps on you. And everything in your life begins to wither away when you allow that. Sin has a payday, and the wages of sin is death. And Joel is describing this terrible scene after this evil army has done its destructive work. It's a picture of nothing but desolation and waste and ruin. Oh, my Lord. Think back about your own deliverance. You were dying. You were totally helpless as the hordes of hell completely overpowered you. I don't know if you've ever been there. Some people get saved at a young age. But if you didn't, I'll guarantee you, as you journey down the road and highway of life, these spirits began to grip you in one way or another way. I want you to listen to this song right here. This song describes the wasted years. This is Reverend Jimmy Swaggart. Listen to him. Can't nobody sing it like Brother Jimmy. Hallelujah. Jimmy Swaggart. Song, old song, Wasted Years.
Wasted years. Oh, how foolish.
Why are you going to waste the other years?
As you walk on in darkness, oh, and fear. Turn around, God is calling, He's calling from a life of wasting. As you wander along on life's pathway, have you lived without love, a life for fear? Have you searched for lies, hidden meaning, or is your life filled with long, long wasted years? Let me sing that verse again, please. As you wander along on life's pathway? Have you lived without love, a life of fear? Have you searched, oh, for life's hidden meaning? Or is your life filled with long, long wasted years?
Thank you for that, amen. You know,
wasted
years. Stop the music, please. Thank you. As a pastor, my heart breaks when I look at people who have been delivered from tremendous bondages and the miracles God has given to them. And then I see them drift back. Might have told me one time, said, "You're an evangelist. You're not a pastor." And I told them after 10 years of them telling me that, I said, I must be a pastor also, because I've been doing it 10 years. I've been a pastor at this church 23 years. I'm going to tell you something. It breaks my heart to see people, because I have a pastor's heart. I am concerned about people, and I'm concerned about people in the church and how they live their lives and how they work in the kingdom of God. And sometimes I say, God, I don't want to sound harsh. I just much rather preach on the love and the goodness of God. But, you know, it is the goodness of God that calls us to repentance. And Joel the prophet, he came with a warning from God. And then Joel prophesied the full restoration of all those who would repent and turn to God with all their heart. And God is speaking to his people today. And God is saying, return to me. And yet there are people who refuse to hear. Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. But there are people who are dull of hearing. Oh, they'll hear what they want to hear, but they won't hear what they don't want to hear. They just hear what they think that the deal is. Let me tell you, you got to take every bit of this book. You have to take it all. You cannot have everything that God has purposed for your life and not live in what God has purposed for you. Amen. See, there are people that are just dull. God said, I want to open your spiritual ears today. God said, I will restore the ears that the locusts have eaten. Now, have you got children that are away from God? Why don't you sell out and give God a chance? Have you got family members that they're away? Why don't you just sell out completely and wholly and pray and seek God like you have never sought God? Change your mind when God sends you a word from a prophetic voice and do what God is saying and watch God work. God said, I'll make up the years that have been eaten. This is an incredible promise. Hallelujah. Because you can't make those years up, but God can make them up to you. Now, I remember when I was first saved, I said, God, why is my life so messed up? And God spoke to me, and God said, son, you have a bad harvest because you have sown bad seed. And God said, if you will sow good seed, I will bless your life. Sow to my word, God says, and walk according to my statutes, and I will give you a good harvest. Now, I knew that scripture because I was churched as a young boy. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But when God speaks a scripture to me, I'll learn it. I'll look it up, and then I'll memorize it. If God takes time to speak to me, I'm going to take time to meditate on that word, to eat that word, to devour that word, to become, let that word become a part of me. Now look at Galatians 6 and 7, because this is what God was speaking to me. Be not deceived, and I want you to get this from the Holy Ghost. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Can you hear the Spirit? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh. Well, I'm in church. Well, what is your flesh demanding out of you that you're not doing for God? He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. All I'd ever heard preached from that text was, if you sin, you don't win, you're going to die and go to hell. And that's true. But God told me, if you'll sow to my word, I will give you a good harvest. People haven't figured it out yet. Praise God. I had a sister. She's in heaven now. She just could not understand it. When I got saved, she said, "Don't you know you've lost everything?" I said, "Not me. I found everything. I found Jesus." Praise. Well, he found me, but I've got Jesus. And you watch Jesus. You just watch Jesus work in my life. You just watch Jesus restore everything to me. I'm down to nothing but Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm through with the clubs. I'm through with the world. I'm a Jesus man. Go on, praise God. If you'll do that, you can have everything God has purposed for your life. God is saying, "I will make it up to you. I'll make up the years that the worms of sin have eaten." Now, I lost those years, and there was no way that I could make them up. But God restored all those wasted years to me. And from that moment to this moment, I have sought to walk in God's perfect will. I'm human. I make mistakes. I have wrong feelings at times. God knows we do. Jesus was tempted at all points like as we, yet without sin. I read a post that said that a sanctified man is still a man, and a sanctified woman is still a woman. And I responded to that, and I said, "Yeah, I agree. Amen. Flesh is flesh. I don't care whose bones you put it on. But you can walk in the Spirit. You can have God's perfect plan for your life carried out. Hallelujah." But from the moment God told me that I will restore things to you, I have sought to walk in God's perfect will. If God told me to leave this church and go to another one, you'd be looking a new pastor. I wouldn't consult with anybody except the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If God told me to go to Africa, I'd get my ticket and I'd get on a plane. And I'm planning to go. I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm not going to waste my life trying to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I'm God's man. And as long as God will give me the strength and the energy, and I've got people in this church like that. But some of you need to totally, completely, wholly submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Go on, praise God. God wants to make it up to you, but you got to walk in perfect obedience. Hallelujah. If I thought for one moment I wasn't in the will of God, I would repent. I would. And I say, "God, what is it I need to change? Search me," I pray it. "Search me, O God, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." See, I don't understand people who refuse to walk in obedience to God. I don't understand people who want to go back to the clubs and the liquor and drinking and running around. You know, sin brought so many heartaches and sorrows into my life. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go to the club and have some woman trying to hit on me that smells like liquor and smells like beer and smells like cigarettes and she's just trying to hit on somebody. Oh, no, I don't want that liquor. I don't want the atmosphere of that. I'm like David. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I tell you, Christian America needs to hear some strong preaching. Strong doctrine will bring you out. Strong doctrine, it will break the chain. I tell you, we need some prophets that will break the chains of darkness. But you'll have to help yourself, my friend. God's not going to do it all. Hallelujah. You can't dabble with the world and have the blessings of God on your life. People never obtaining, they refuse to enter into what God has purposed for their life. Let's see, what am I doing on time? Now think about it. When you were in school, there was only one way you could get to the next level. You had to pass the test. You go to school for 9 months and you fail. And then you go to summer school for 6 weeks and guess what? You would pass the test. You got a crash course, and they made it up to you. Hallelujah. See, God said, "I will make it up to you." God said, "I'll restore the years that the worms of sin have eaten." You can't repay God for one wasted moment. The Word of God declares, "Walk before me in righteousness, and I will restore your wasted years." Turn from your sin. Turn from your disobedience. God said, "I'll make up everything you have ever lost." Hallelujah. To the repentant sinner, God declares, "Fear not, but rejoice, for the Lord shall do great things in your midst." Hallelujah. See, you don't have to live a life of wasted years. God will make it up to you. And God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. If you will repent, turn to Jesus with all your heart, God will remove the evil army, and you can eat at God's table and you can be satisfied. What a message. See, you were born for God's eternal purpose. And God has a plan for each one of our lives. But sin entered in, and sin, it interrupted that plan. And the devourer moved in, and suddenly years were wasted and lost. But that's hope, because God is a good God. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love this. This is a promise from God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I want you to look at this because a lot of people quote Jeremiah 29 and 11. Look at Jeremiah 29 and 11. A lot of people like to lay hold of this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, most people, they stop right there. But the Holy Ghost carried me a little further. See, this promise of Joel and the promises of Jeremiah and the promises of all the prophets and the promises of all God, they're all based upon conditions. Look at Jeremiah 29 and 12. God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. He said, then you shall call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me. Are you praying? God said, I will hearken unto you. God said, I'll listen to you if you pray. Now look at verse 13. I had never put these two together like this. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I come with a prophetic word today. Some of you, you need to seek God, search for God, and do it with all your heart. Your victory in life, all of your victories, they're based upon you seeking God and searching for God with all your heart, with every fiber of your being. And when you do that, the Lord will go back to the day that the locusts and the worms of sin came, and he will restore all those wasted years. He's the God of restoration. And those blessings that you missed, guess what? God has stored all of them up for you. He said, I got a plan for you. All the joy, all the peace, all the revelation that you thought were dead and gone forever, they have been kept for you by the Lord himself. He said, I'm going to restore it to you. I'm a God of restoration. I'm going to make it all up to you. Hallelujah. That's your destiny if you're totally surrendered to Jesus Christ and his Lordship. But in hell, the damned of all ages, God help us, they will be haunted by the memories of what they could have been and what they could have had. But that's not so for those who repent and turn to God with all their heart. God, he says, I will restore to you. Hallelujah. I will take care of those wasted years. And God can bring you forth. My God. People say, you can't have all that joy. Let me tell you. God can bring you forth in supernatural joy. He can bring you forth in supernatural peace. He can bring you forth in supernatural victory. He can bring you forth in supernatural revelation. And because you search for him and seek his word and you pray, he'll give you revelation. He'll give you understanding. He'll say, this is my way, child, walk therein. I've had business deals that they meant $1 million to me, and two times God stopped me. The third time I had a tremendous offer from the business world. God didn't have to stop me. I didn't even have to pray about it. God had already stopped me twice. I said, no, I retired to preach Jesus. There's one thing I do, hallelujah. And guess what? All of that money and all of that stuff that I just let it go by the wayside, God has made it all up to me. Woo! He's a good God. Are you bragging? No, I'm talking about the God of restoration. I'm talking about what it takes to get God's best in your life. Go on, praise him, church. Hallelujah. He's a supernatural God, and he can put you right back on track. Hallelujah. You know, God is speaking to hearts today, and God is saying, I will restore your wasted years. I'm going to give you a revelation that the Spirit of God whispered to me. We think about it just end time prophecy. Apply it to your own life, because I told you, Jeremiah, or Joel rather, he was preaching to Israel, to the church, and the individuals. Listen to the Spirit. See if he can hear your voice. He's speaking to hearts today. God has said, I'll make it up to you. God is saying, I'll restore all those wasted years. So turn you. He says, turn with all your heart. And I close with this incredible promise for those who repent and turn to God in obedience and total surrender. Look at Joel 2:26 again. God says, you shall eat in plenty if you turn and repent. And be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Now here's what I want to share with you right here. Look at verse 28. God said, it shall come to pass afterwards. After what? After God restores your wasted years. That's what we're talking about. Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass afterwards. God said, after I've restored your wasted years, that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Look at this, coming home now. Your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. See, God is a generational God. So look at that. Look at, he's not just speaking to the nation of Israel. He's not just speaking to the church. He's speaking to me. He's talking to me. God said, I'm going to make some things up for you, boy. I'm going to show up in your life and I'm going to show off. And people are going to wonder, how in the world did that happen to him? Why, I knew him when. I knew what they did. I know their path. But do you know my future? My hand is in that nail-scarred hand. I'm headed to the walls of Jasper Gates, the pearl streets, the pure transparent gold. I'm going to see my mother. I'm going to see my daddy. I'm going to see my loved ones. And I'm going to see Jesus. Are you headed there? Go and praise him. Hallelujah. He's a God of restoration. He's a generational God. Look at this. God said, I'm going to pour, put that scripture up there, Joel 2:28. I'm going to pour my spirit upon the whole family, upon daddy, upon mother, upon your children, upon old men, upon young men. Church, we are in the last days, and God is pouring out his spirit. There's some things that are wrong in the church. There are a lot of good things that are right, but there's some things that are wrong. God wants all of you. That's what I'm here to say. And we are the double portion generation. Let me say that again. We are the double portion generation. And God says, my best is yet to come. Household salvation, miracles and healing, and signs and wonders. God is calling, and God is a good God. God is the God of restoration. Let us stand.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know
amazing love.
It's true.
My heart breaks,
and it's my joy to honor
when I see new converts.
And all I
drift away from God.
I honor you.
Lives were already wasted.
Amazing
God wanting
love,
to do great miracles. Call those who are not in their place today. Tell them how much you love them. I'm not a hireling. I'm not sent to do that. I'm sent to preach the word of God. I will do that. Because of the love that God put in my heart for broken, sighing, crying, suffering humanity. Get a vision. Get a vision of the harvest. Get a vision of souls that are dying on their way to hell. Look in your own family. Look at your neighbor. Look at what sin has done. Look at our nation. Oh God, send us a revival. Oh God, be merciful unto us. The nation you raised up, we got homosexuals and lesbians in high places in our office, one running for the president of this nation. I don't want my grandchildren looking at something like that. They don't need to come to Calvary and get born again. All types of same-sex marriage, crazy foolishness like that. Church, it's time to pray. Let's come to this altar and pray. Oh, it's 12 o'clock.